Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
There are few countries on Earth as repressed or as militarized as North Korea. Under the military-first dictatorship of the Kim Dynasty, the Korean People's Army, or KPA, has become the central pillar of the country's government and society. It's believed that with 1.3 million active soldiers, a 5.8 million strong paramilitary force, and 200,000 reserve soldiers, it has the largest military of any country in the world. While its massive military parades show off super-disciplined men and women, a peek behind the Hermit Kingdom's curtain reveals a more disturbing picture. From being forced to live in squalor to starving during their service, it's time to take a look at the horrible things North Korea's soldiers really have to go through. Housing more than a million active military personnel isn't easy, so it's no surprise that their living conditions are horrific, to say the least. Based in small concrete barracks dotted all over the country, soldiers are expected to live in teeny tiny rooms with more than 20 others. In terms of storage, each soldier is only given a small set of drawers to store their uniforms in. They all sleep together in bunk beds, but the mattresses provided aren't soft and inviting. They're made of cheap rice hulls, which don't air as easily as cloth, so it soaks up all their sweat and leaves the room smelling vile. To make matters worse, most barracks don't even have running water. Many soldiers resort to washing themselves outside with hoses or with water drawn up from wells, even during winter when it can get as cold as minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit. There's also no air conditioning for the sweltering hot summers and no heating aside from a tiny wood-fed stove in each room. For up to 8 years, this is how most soldiers will live. And without proper ventilation, disease spreads fast. In the early 2000s, an outbreak of SARS disease is believed to have swept through the military, claiming the lives of countless soldiers. The COVID-19 pandemic, sadly, hasn't been much different. Even though North Korea denies it has had even one case of COVID, multiple sources have reported huge military death tolls from the virus, with many perishing in their own beds. But wait, why are young people who are meant to have top-notch immune systems falling in droves to diseases like this? Well, North Korea is no stranger to food shortages. Because of their limited trade options with other countries, it's heavily reliant on its own ability to produce food. This means poor harvests have thrown the country into deadly famines in the past, claiming millions of lives. Even though other countries offered humanitarian food aid during these times, North Korea wouldn't allow foreign aid workers behind its borders, leaving millions to starve. And sadly, the military isn't exempt from this suffering. Soldiers are only fed cheap basic foods like corn, rice, and cabbage. In June, the potato harvest usually comes in, so soldiers eat potatoes for 3 meals a day. And in August, when the corn harvest comes in, soldiers eat green corn for 3 meals a day. They must get sick of that cycle real quick. Each meal should weigh 200 to 300 grams, but many reports indicate they barely reach 140 grams. Combined with intense training, this isn't enough to sustain most soldiers, and after 6 months, malnutrition begins to set in. Back in 2015, a secret undercover recording was released of some recruits who all looked dangerously thin and exhausted. The military food situation is so dire that senior officers apparently tell soldiers to steal food for their unit whenever they can, with punishments doled out for failure. Many soldiers have been photographed desperately pilfering grain and even livestock just to survive. But it's not always enough. When a soldier becomes too malnourished to serve or even stand, they're sent on home leave. Their families feed them back to health, and when they've recovered, they're sent back to the military. This horrendous cycle continues until they either complete their service or, more often than not, perish. Considering their glorious leader Kim Jong-un looks like he's never missed a meal, this is pretty hard to stomach. In May 2021, a direct order was handed down from Kim Jong-un's desk pointing out that his soldiers were in a perilous state of nutrition. He directed all military units to ensure soldiers were given at least one bean-based meal a day, such as soybeans or tofu. Commanders who failed to do this would be punished without mercy, which naturally lit a fire under the butts of those who didn't have access to any bean supplies. To cover their own behinds, logistics departments began sending off soldiers from good backgrounds on something called bean leave. Each was ordered to take 10 to 14 days of leave, but they had to return with no less than 300 kilograms of beans. That's more than a quarter of a ton. If they couldn't get that amount in beans, then rice or corn would suffice. But this wasn't as simple as hitting up a Costco. Most soldiers are from rural communities, which meant they probably had to drain their hometowns of food when food supplies were already tight. Many likely had to choose between watching their units or their family starve. We've not even scratched the surface, but I think we need a quick break. If you're finding all the research in this episode informative and would like more hard-hitting exposés like it in the future, be sure to follow my podcast, and why not leave a 5-star rating? All right, I think I'm ready to continue. Let's find out what else these poor soldiers have to endure. Considering how terrible these conditions are, how have the Kims built one of the biggest armies on the planet without a revolution against them? The answer is brainwashing. From as young as 4 years old, children are indoctrinated into the ruling Workers' Party's militaristic ideologies through a number of terrible tactics. Nurseries are decorated with cartoon animal soldiers holding rocket-propelled grenade launchers, grenades, and machine guns, attacking other animals. Their books are illustrated with strong military iconography, and there are even propaganda cartoons showing characters using loaded guns to fight and destroy their enemies. And it doesn't stop there. Kids as young as toddlers are disturbingly dressed up in tiny uniforms. Okay, that is kind of cute, but some of the stuff they're made to do really isn't. The North Korean equivalent of the Boy Scouts, called the Korean Children's Union, sings songs with lyrics that'll make you shiver. One that's been translated goes, 3 million Boy Scouts will be guns and bombs. We will be guns and bombs for the general. Yep, kids literally sing about laying down their lives for Kim Jong-un. I think I preferred Old MacDonald. This benevolent brainwashing hounds the poor kids throughout their lives, enforcing the message that they must sacrifice themselves for the Kims and do everything they say, no matter how dangerous it is. And it gets worse once they hit the tender age of 17. At 17 years old, all boys and girls must register for military service. Depending on their background and educational prospects, some can be excluded from conscription or have their service delayed, but all must be registered. No exceptions, no choice. However, the sons and daughters of many elite and political party members are often excluded, like the current leader, Kim Jong-un. Despite being in command of the entire military, he's never actually served in any part of it. Glorious leader, my butt. What's stranger is that under his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, who did serve, most soldiers signed up voluntarily. However, since the reign of his son, Kim Jong-il, North Korea's economy has drastically declined, military rewards have diminished, and so fewer people volunteered. To retain their control over the nation, the Kims started to rely more heavily on conscription and changed laws to increase the amount of time that had to be served. Military service used to last as long as 13 years, but as of January 2021, a government directive has reduced that to 8 years for men and between 5 and 8 years for women. And that's not the only thing that's been reduced. In 2012, the minimum height requirement for male soldiers was 145 centimeters, which is about 4 feet 7 inches. Today, it's been brought down to 142 centimeters. That's just 4 feet 6 inches. Because the diets of its citizens are so bad that it's led to a major slump in average heights. For contrast, the height requirement for men in the U.S. Army starts at 152 centimeters, or 5 feet. Talk about drawing the short straw. When new soldiers enter the KPA, whether it be in the Army, Navy, or Air Force divisions, they all begin basic training. For the first 6 months, they're taught the fundamentals of fighting. But because the cost of equipment like vehicles, fuel, and ammunition is so expensive, most training is made up of physical drills focused on repetition and memorization. Night training is also extensive, with some older sources claiming a soldier's daily routine runs from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., including just 3 hours of free time. Though this free time is hardly their own, as they're also expected to grow crops and raise livestock to supplement their meager diets. Only then do they move on to the advanced training of their allocated division, but the most brutal training of all is saved for when the cameras show up. Soldiers chosen to showcase their skills to the nation are ordered to smash bricks with their bare fists, elbow drop piles of tiles, and even take axe blows to their abdomens. Geez, this is more like circus school than army training. On top of that, each soldier can spend up to 6 months training for a single parade. It's a lot of goose-stepping back and forth in perfect synchronicity, all for the pleasure of the supreme leader. But this is just physical training. According to some defectors, up to 60% of military training is ideological in nature. They're taught to have a sacrificial mentality, ensuring they'd put their lives on the line to protect the Kim family. Without the Kims, they're taught that they are nothing, and so must protect them at all costs. Brainwashing is also enforced in training, where they shoot at U.S. effigies, their corrupt capitalist enemies, and proudly declare they would die for their glorious leader. And sadly, even though they're not actually at war, many still do. Like training for up to 17 hours a day wasn't bad enough, North Korean soldiers rarely get any time off. Leave and passes are limited and strictly controlled by senior members. A 2-week leave is allowed only once or twice during a soldier's entire service. Even marriage or the death of a parent only grants a soldier 10 days of absence, if their commander is feeling generous. But when they're on duty, they're not just training. Commanders are routinely ordered to send units off to help farmers bring in crops or carry out manual labor. In 2016, soldiers were sent off on a mass deployment to 2 mega projects, the Tanshan Hydroelectric Power Station and the Seppo Tableland Project. There, they're expected to undertake backbreaking work like mining and clearing land, usually without the help of any technical equipment. Though men and women work side by side, women work shorter training hours and are tasked with chores such as cooking and cleaning. What is this, the 1950s? But their service doesn't stop there. Soldiers can be ordered to undertake just about any task, should Kim Jong-un say so. So, while some soldiers are breaking bricks with their hands, others are sent off to be traffic wardens and even tour guides to the Westerners they've been taught to hate so much. You might be thinking that all this grueling work and training make for a sizable salary. But the thing is, North Korea's economy was crippled when the Soviet Union crumbled in 1991. Since then, it's been bled dry by the dictatorship, with the average North Korean earning just 4% of what their South Korean counterparts make at just $100 a month. Though the official figures aren't known, it's believed most soldiers earn even less than that, and it's paid in non-cash items such as food and daily necessities. And any cash they do manage to make doesn't go far. In June 2021, as the food shortages worsened, a kilogram of bananas in North Korea was worth $45. And as international sanctions on the country tightened, essentials like shampoo shot up to more than $200 a bottle. What's worse, any money stored in banks is controlled by the government, who have the right to refuse withdrawals. So investing and saving are generally out of the question, and most citizens just use cash. Electronic payments are so alien to these poor people that one defector who served in the military was shocked when he used an ATM for the first time. He thought there was a little man inside dispensing money. Not even the higher-ups are that well off either. Back in 2013, it was reported that senior officers were given incentives to maintain loyalty. Four-star generals received around $1,200 each month on top of their salaries, while three-star generals got $1,000 and two-star generals made $700. Seems like a lot in comparison to a lone $100, but if you compare that to the U.S., the starting rate for a general is around $16,600 per month. That's a pretty pitiful comparison. Dishonorable discharges are the most serious form of punishment any soldier can receive from the military. They're slapped on soldiers found guilty of committing a serious crime, such as desertion or endangering the lives of their fellow soldiers. In the U.S., those dishonorably discharged lose all veterans' benefits and are forbidden from owning a firearm, working for the government, and taking out bank loans. This has drastic consequences that affect the rest of their lives, even if they're spared prison time. However, in North Korea, the conditions are so bad inside the military that a dishonorable discharge can be a good thing. Soldiers dishonorably discharged are automatically expelled from the Workers' Party, so they can never become a party official with a better standard of living. This is seen as the ultimate punishment for any North Korean. While it can make the future difficult, sources claim soldiers have realized they're much better off being dishonorably discharged than being worked to the bone doing manual labor. Some help smugglers and traffickers at the borders they're stationed at, taking bribes and rendering their services for a high price. After making a lot of money, they get themselves discharged and begin living a life of comparative luxury. It may not be honorable, but it's better than starving. When Kim Jong-un visits the troops or watches them take part in parades, many of them begin weeping while the supreme leader remains stone-faced. But we're not talking about a few tears, it's full-on hollering and hysteria. The troops seem moved to tears of joy just to be in the presence of their leader. But acts of mass mania are also seen at more serious events, such as ceremonies dedicated to the passing of the previous leader, Kim Jong-il. Back in 2012, after Kim Jong-il's passing, officials started sending soldiers who didn't participate in mass mourning off to hard labor camps for up to 6 months. Even those who did turn up and forced out a few crocodile tears were sent off if they didn't seem genuine. Now, during parades or photo shoots where Kim meets soldiers, they all begin to wail and clap like they're possessed. Well, considering the conditions they're forced to live in, crying on command shouldn't be too hard for them. So far, being part of North Korea's great military doesn't sound great at all. So, what if its soldiers want to leave? Refusing to do their duty can result in heavy punishments like forced labor, torture, and even death. The only way to escape for good is to leave the country. But unsurprisingly, North Korea's Ministry of People's Security doesn't allow its citizens to move freely within its country, let alone outside it. And this extends to soldiers, too. Unless they're on special assignments to friendly countries such as China, they are not allowed out for any reason. Their only option then is to secretly defect, often to South Korea, where they're offered unconditional amnesty. They can escape over the rivers and mountains connecting North Korea to China or over the demilitarized zone leading to South Korea. Sadly, China doesn't recognize North Korean defectors as refugees and deports them back if they're caught, even though they know they'll be punished and possibly eradicated. Heading through the demilitarized zone is much riskier, though. The 2.5-mile wide stretch linking the north and south is littered with mines, electric fences, and outposts. The soldiers stationed on the North Korean side are high-ranking officers who live in moderate comfort, as they're considered less likely to try and make a break for it. However, many still try and succeed. It just goes to show military life must be miserable even for those in good positions, like defector Oh Chong Song. Back in 2017, one soldier who was the son of a high-ranking military official committed a serious crime. Terrified of punishment, he made a snap decision to rush across the demilitarized zone. He was chased and shot at more than 40 times before collapsing behind a low wall on the South Korean side. Under cover of darkness, South Korean operatives pulled him to safety and rushed him to surgery. As they were putting him back together, the medics found something that shocked them to the core. The poor soldier was riddled with huge parasitic worms. Now, eggs of these parasites are most commonly transferred via feces. The reason they were crawling around inside Oh Chong-song is because North Korea uses human waste to fertilize its fields, which soldiers are often tasked with spreading. Oh Chong-song survived, but, like many other defectors, escaping wasn't without its consequences. If they are successful, defectors' families still in North Korea are punished, often sent to live in exile in the mountains and left to starve. So, sadly for many soldiers, leaving North Korea is just as dangerous as staying. Seeing how the soldiers in the KPA's many parades always look sharp, maybe, just maybe, Kim Jong-un splashes out to keep them well clothed. Sadly, he doesn't. Some female parade uniforms require women to wear a small, heeled shoe. But if you've ever worn heels, you'll know that goose-stepping like they do sees them fly right off. Instead of providing them with better shoes, the women painfully bind them to their feet with things like elastic and string. And that's just female footwear. Ordinary soldiers are only provided with a set of summer uniforms once every 2 years and winter uniforms every 3 years. Shoes are more readily replaced, with lighter summer shoes replaced once every 2 years and winter shoes every year. This might not sound too bad, but the quality isn't great. One defector claimed that the boots are shabbily produced and the insides are plugged with cotton. After a few wears, this begins to shed until the insides are bare, rubbing the poor soldier's feet raw every time they wear them and exposing them to frostbite. Like they didn't have enough to worry about already. According to North Korea's Public Health Act, free comprehensive health care is provided to all its citizens, and every corp of the military has its own dedicated hospital. No insurance, no bills. Sounds great. At least it would if it were real. According to defectors, their so-called hospitals rarely have any actual medicine. And if they do, they charge the patients for it. Even soldiers. What they do have plenty of is iodine, which is used as a cheap disinfectant. But unless you've got cash, that's it. Considering the sheer number of injuries soldiers must sustain from their intense training and backbreaking work on a daily basis, this is a pretty terrifying revelation. Many turn to natural remedies, such as herbs, to treat illnesses. Not sure how effective they'd be healing something like a broken leg, though. What's worse is that in December 2020, it was reported about half of the country's First Corps, an infantry unit of 5,000 men, were just too sick to train. For a country that supposedly didn't have even one case of COVID-19, that's a mighty odd coincidence, don't you think? As bad as all these accounts sound, for women in the KPA, it's a whole other level of hell. After 6 months of intense training combined with poor nutrition, malnutrition sets in, which causes many female soldiers to stop menstruating, sometimes for years. However, many see this as a blessing. Training alongside men, women aren't given a chance to wash or change when on duty outside. Before 2017, instead of sanitary products, most female soldiers were just given bandages or they resorted to cloth offcuts from vests and socks. It sounds incredibly uncomfortable, but it was something they just had to deal with. Though it gets worse. Senior officers regularly take advantage and prey upon women under their command. North Korea claims it takes assaults like this very seriously, with jail sentences of up to 7 years for those found guilty of such heinous crimes. However, the offending officers often threaten to block the woman's chances of joining the party if they make any kind of report. Out of fear, many suffer in silence. Around the world, many of those serving in the military are safe in the knowledge that if the worst happens to them, their families will receive some sort of reimbursement. In the U.S., for example, death pensions, gratuity, and compensation can be offered to make life for those left behind easier. Not in North Korea, though. If a soldier falls during active duty, be it from protecting the borders or starvation, their families receive nothing. Not a single cent. What they get instead is a certificate confirming the soldier fell in the line of duty out of loyalty to the Workers' Party. That's it. It's so worthless, they can't even exchange it to buy rice. I'm not sure who I feel sorrier for, the soldiers or their families. Which of these shocked you the most? And if you've ever served in the military, how does this compare to your experience? If you were amazed at these shocking facts, I've got a lot more episodes about North Korea for you. Check them out. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.